in the traditions that people follow. Meaning, they receive their false doctrine by tradition. It's not that they went back to the scriptures and got it afresh, or they were taught by a true minister of God the truth, but rather, they receive it by tradition. That's why I'm opposed to all denominations. That's why I'm opposed to universities of Christian education, because they teach things by tradition. And they think it's not, but it is. Because the errors they make are codified and replicated over and over again. And therefore, it's like the baskets of the loaves and of the fishes. The leaven of their doctrine, and that's really the theme of these chapters, 14, 15, 16. The leaven of their doctrine is replicated over and over, and it bloats things. And you say, well, most of it's good meal. But yeah, but it's bloated. It's got corruption in it that causes it to be increased. You know, why did Jesus liken false doctrine to leaven? Is it because there's something wrong with leavened bread? Like there's something evil about having fluffy bread? Not when it comes to bread. I tell you, no. But when it comes to doctrine, there is something wrong. That's why people say to me when I criticize certain ministries, they say, Paul, why do you criticize them? I mean, we're all basically teaching the truth. These are little small differences. The little small differences, the little small bits of false doctrine balloon up. And that's why he uses leaven, because leaven acts as an increase. And it expands the thing beyond its normal parameters. And false doctrine feeds off itself and increases, and it makes the thing into something it's not meant to be. You know, it takes the doctrine of Christ, you know, believe in Jesus, and it blows it up with all kinds of unnecessary things. And a lot of, you know, and a lot of what you get is missing the essential ingredients anyway. But remember, no analogy is going to perfectly encompass all truth. There's no story that contains all truth. They only have a limited focus. So what was the specific example he gave? God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. One of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. But you say, and this one used to give me trouble, whosoever shall say to father or mother, it's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Meaning, what it means is this, is whatever I could have done, because honor your father and mother has really two meanings throughout your life. When you're a child, it means you are to obey them. Honoring your father and your mother when you're young is obedience. When you're old, it means what? It means to take care of them in their old age. To honor them is to give them the respect they're due. Now, Jesus honored his father and mother. But when it came to the gospel, and he said, whoever will not hate his father and mother or loves them more than me is not worthy of me. And he also said that, who is my father, my mother? But they that do the will of my father. You know, do the will of my father which is in heaven. So disobedience to the gospel sort of makes them less. But it does not release any child from their obligation carnally. They took care of you when you were young. You take care of them when they're old, when they're helpless, when they have no one, when they're not able to care for themselves anymore, or they need help to take care of themselves. It is the obligation of the younger, to look after them. Make sure your parents don't end up destitute. And that's the thing he's saying. Whatever you might have been profited by me, it is a gift. It is korban in the Aramaic, I believe. It means something dedicated to God. Meaning, I've dedicated the money I would have helped you to the ministry of God. And this is an interesting thing compared when you talk about how Jesus said, hey, you know, my father and my mother is those that do the will of God. And so it's sort of like, well, what if you want to, let's say you're in a choice between your father and your mother will starve, or you give your money to the ministry, so to speak, or to God, in whatever capacity you wanna think of that. And Jesus is saying, you must honor your father and your mother. So this is the qualifier of what he said before. You know, that this has to do with, oh, my mother wants my attention. Sorry, Mom, I got more important things to do. My mother wants to talk to me. Sorry, Mom, I've got more important things on my mind. I've got the gospel. My mother wants me to do this. Sorry, Mom. My mother wants me to do that. Sorry. My mother wants me to follow after the world. Sorry. My mother wants me to care about money. Sorry, Mom. No thanks. My mother wants me to control my life. She wants to be in control of my life. She wants to direct my life. I don't have to honor that. God is in control of my life, not my mother or my father or my sister or my brother. They are not directing my life, but God is directing my life. And those who are truly in tune with God are my brother and my sister and my mother and my father. But when it comes to the suffering of people, you know, you take care of the poor. You watch after the helpless, the fatherless, and the widows. So when your mother is old and my mother says to me, I need your help. Yes, mother. That is what it means to honor your father and your mother. It's not like, sorry, Mom, I gave all the money to God. No. Now you've transgressed the commandment of Christ and the commandment of God and the righteousness which is in Jesus. When it comes to them trying to take you away from the ministry, that's one thing. But when it comes to serving people, you know, even your enemies, feed your enemy, clothe your enemy, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on their head. And even if your mother or father is disobedient to the gospel, you feed them and you clothe them. Make sure they don't perish for want of things. It doesn't mean you enable them to live in a state of luxury. Even if they're, you know, the thing is, they might whine and bellow. Oh, my whole life I've been used to eating caviar and gourmet coffees. I don't know. And filet mignon. I mean, and now you want me to just eat these simple things? Yeah. Yeah, I've been used to I've always lived in luxurious apartments. I've always lived in the most opulent settings. Well, times have changed, and now you're in my care, and all I can give you is this. You know, and in the Spirit of God, as you're able to help and to take care of and to care for, but not to use God as an excuse to neglect your obligations to your fellow men, especially your family members. The ministry of Christ is not an excuse to do evil.